Amen. Yep. All right. Well, to paraphrase what I normally say over in, when I do the drosh, this week's got a lot going on in it, doesn't it? Boy, we're starting up the fourth book of Scripture, the fourth book of Torah. And in English, the name is Numbers, and we get that from the census that God commands Moses to take in the second verse of the portion. But in Hebrew, the portion's title is taken from the first verse, and it's very different. It's called Bimidbar, meaning in the wilderness or in the desert. And the Hebrew name really has much more meaning to it than just numbers. This coming Sunday, as we know, Sunday evening, starts Shavuot, the end of the counting of the Omer. We've been counting the Omer for 40, well, it'll be 49 days. By the end of Saturday and on Sunday, it will be the 50th day. So we started counting the Omer on first fruits, right after Passover. And that normally, you know, for Israel, being an agricultural society, that was the first fruits of the time at that time. That would have been their barley harvest. They count off the days. At the end of the Omer would be the second harvest, and that would be the wheat harvest. But Shavuot is become so much more. It's the fourth of the prophetic feasts that have been fulfilled. There are seven prophetic feasts, and Shavuot is the fourth one, the final one that has been fulfilled. There are still others to come that God will fulfill. It's given in His Torah. Shavuot, that time where it's not just the time of harvesting, it was also the time that Adonai gave His people the Torah on Mount Sinai. So He gave us His word. And just like He gave us His word on Mount Sinai, hundreds of years later, He gave us the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. For our Christian brothers and sisters, they know it as Pentecost. So, Shavuot is in Torah. Just like all the other feasts and holidays, we find this one in Leviticus 23. So, let's take a quick look at Leviticus 23:15, starting there, about Shavuot. Then you are to count from the morrow after the Shabbat, from the day that you brought the Omer of the wave offering, seven complete Shabbaot, or Shabbats in plural. Until the morrow after the seventh Shabbat, you are to count 50 days and then present a new grain offering to Adonai. Excuse me, I've got the hiccups in the middle of speaking. So there we get Shavuot. We have to wait for the counting of the Omer. It's kind of a strange holiday. There's not a lot about how to celebrate Shavuot. There's not even a clear understanding among the Jewish community of when Shavuot is. It says after the Shabbat, count off the days. But you know, when you have a couple of Jewish people together, how many opinions are you going to have? You're going to have a few. So, what is Shabbat? For some, the Shabbat is the day after the Passover. You know, Passover is the Shabbat, therefore the next day you start counting. For others, they say Shabbat is the seventh day, so they wait until the next Shabbat, next seventh day, and then they start their count. So even within the Jewish community, there's this discussion of when Shavuot is. So that's why someone had asked about why is it that one website says this day and one website says that day. That's why. We start with the day after Passover. And then we do the count of the Omer. And during the counting of the Omer, we wait for Shavuot. We wait. And that's many times what Scripture's like. Scripture's like life. You just have to wait for things to happen. And the funny thing about waiting, sometimes that waiting can seem like it takes forever. And sometimes it can just fly by like that. It depends. You know, for 400 years, the Jewish people were in Egypt, mostly as slaves. And for the people reading it, those 400 years passed like that, because all it is a flip of the page. You know, you're reading in Genesis, and all of a sudden, 400 years passes, you flip over to Exodus, and boom, 400 years passes like that. Don't even realize how much time goes by in reality. But it, just like that, it goes. Another period of waiting, 40 years in the desert. It starts in like Exodus 13, and for the next 18 books of Exodus, and then all of Leviticus, and then really all of Deuteronomy, these 40 years for us seem to like go on for a while. You know, it's just that waiting for the time between the time that we're given, that we're taken out of Egypt, and we're finally getting into the promised land in Joshua, it seems like we're reading for a while. But then we also have the teaching of Moses in Leviticus. The book of Leviticus is actually three separate teachings of Moses put into a book. And so it probably really only took him 3 days, parts of 3 days, to give Leviticus to the people of Israel. And yet for us, it seems to go for a while. 10 portions, 2.5 months of reading the Torah portions. Really only 3 days for Moses. 3 days, but stretched over that period of time. But then we look at Yeshua, 3 days in the grave. And really, what is that? That's, again, just one chapter in a couple of books. It's not very long for something so important to have happened. But it doesn't take very long to read it. And then we have our own lives that we wait through. Right? Our lives take a lifetime. It takes a whole lifetime to live out. And yet, as long as that lifetime seems, it can go by like a blink of an eye at the same time. It could seem like an eternity at some times as we're living through it. And then at other times, it's nothing. And what do we say about eternity? It's an inconceivable length of time. How do we conceive of an eternity when all we know is what we've been through so far? We know it's forever, but can we really get an idea of what forever means? Think of it this way for a child. Maybe your youngster says, "All my life, it's been this way." And you look at him and say, "You're only 5 years old." And you laugh at him. As an adult, you say, "All my life," Adonai looks at you and laughs at you and says, "You're just a child." Time and that waiting takes on different meanings in different situations and different people. But it's all part of God's plans. 13 months from the departure of Egypt to the start of the book of Numbers. And yet as we read it, most people don't even, you know, it says a year into the second year in the first month, 13 months, but most people zoom right past that. And they don't conceive of the time that they're really in the desert getting God's word. Life really is just made up of times waiting. Hopefully we're living while we're waiting, but really, it's waiting. It's waiting for this, waiting for that. And a lot of times we don't even know what we're waiting for. But Adonai sees time differently than we do. Look what it says in 2 Peter in regards to timing and how God understands timing. 2 Peter 3:8 says, "But don't forget this one thing, loved ones, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." I mean, I can't even conceive 1,000 years. But for him, that's why, like when we say our whole life, he laughs. He's been through a few things himself. He knows time. We really don't know time. We know waiting. That we know. Sometimes, like I said, we don't even know what we're waiting for. But we know waiting. But why do we have to go through the waiting? Why do we need to wait? Is there really a purpose for the wait? And there really is. This time of being in the spiritual wilderness, or that time of waiting, a place of challenging us. This living in the wilderness is really just a metaphor of the difficult times. Israel was going through difficult times in the wilderness. We go through difficult times in our life. And these times can be pretty terrifying at times. They can bring on loneliness, confusion, uncertainty. Sometimes we've seen it where people lose faith or lose a sense of self-worth even. They can be hard times to get through. But there are reasons that we have to get through them, that we have to live through them. They're to teach us something. They're to teach us how to be humble. Humility comes through living through these hard times. In fact, God wants to show us three things as we live through these hard times. And they're important. They're trusting in Him, having faith in Him, and that humility that we have to learn as we go through these hard times. These three things, really, once we get hold of these three things, then we become in awe of who He is, of what He's done for us, what He can do for us, our smallness in life. And in all of that comes our contentment in life. Contentment that we don't have to do it ourselves, that He does it. That we can rest in Him in this process of trusting and having faith in Him, having the humility that we can't do it. That's where it all comes from. In fact, I would say that if we take faith and trust and roll them together, that's where humility comes in. That's what builds humility, the faith and the trust. A humble person is satisfied where he is and with what he's got. A humble person can feel the gratitude towards where you are, can feel the thanksgiving of what Adonai has given you, can feel the awe of who He is. Difficult times and waiting through them for Him to do reminds us of the need of that faith and that trust. And it builds the self-humility. We learn to trust and to have faith in Adonai by going through these many experiences, these times of waiting. They require trust. In most cases, they require waiting. Yes, some things happen right away, but most of the time, that's life, we're waiting for it to happen. By seeing God's faithfulness over and over, we let ourselves become trusting in Him. And that is an important part. Timing is an important part of trusting in Him, timing that we don't have control over. We have to give it up to Him. Timing and trust seems to work hand in hand. There is no way that you can say, I trust in Adonai, and then try to force the timing the way you want it to be done. That's not trust. They work hand in hand. And sometimes that trust is that His timing is right and I don't even know what I'm waiting for. And that's what it's like for sinners in this world. They don't even know what they're waiting for. They're waiting for salvation, but they don't even know what they're waiting for. They don't even know why they're waiting. They don't even know why they need it. But they do. And that's the love of Adonai. That while we were still sinners, He came for us. Romans 5:6, we all know this one. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Messiah died for the ungodly. While I was still a sinner, He died for me. And for the world, they say, yeah, look at the fool. He died 1,000 years ago, if he ever lived. And you say He died for you. Yes, He died for each and every individual. That's the faith. That's trust. And we know God's timing is always right. The 40 years in the desert, without a doubt, were hard for Israel. The only food was the manna supplied by Adonai. The only water was really from Adonai. This time in the desert was meant to wear down the Israelites, to wear off their independence on themselves. It should have caused a reliance on Adonai only and removed it from themselves. But we see flesh rebel over and over and over again. And we see it in ourselves as well. As many times as He tries to teach us faith, teach us trust, teach us humility, our flesh rises up and wants to fight against it. That's why we have to go through things. That's why there's always something to wait for. It's always a reason for having to do that waiting. It's so that we can learn faith, learn trust, learn humility. Look what it says in Psalm 31, starting in verse 12. Because of all my adversaries, this is King David speaking, because of all my adversaries, I am the contempt of my neighbors and the dread of my acquaintances. Seeing me on the street, they flee from me. I am as forgotten as a dead man. I have become like a broken vessel, for I have heard the whispering of many. There is terror on every side, as they conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I have trusted in You, Adonai. I said, You are my God. My times are in Your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my foe and from those who pursue me. Make my face shine on Your servant. Make Your face shine on Your servant. Save me from Your within Your loving kindness. Hear what David says about timing? Adonai's timing? He was allowed to be broken. He understands it was God who allowed him to be broken. But he also understands it will be God in His perfect timing that will redeem him, rescue him, and rebuild him. That's who Adonai is. He works on us, and then He builds us up. David knew the hard times were there so he could be rebuilt by Adonai. So did his son Solomon. In fact, Solomon goes a step further when he wrote Ecclesiastes. This is a portion of Ecclesiastes actually became right, a famous song in the 60s. None of us were alive then, but we might have heard it on the radio sometime. And listen for the ups and downs as he tells us what life is really like. Everything, there's a season and a time for every activity under heaven. A time to give birth, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to discard. A time to tear apart, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. The good and the bad, they happen in life. King Solomon is laying it all out. We're going to go ups and downs, the good and the bad. Sometimes, when we were listening to this, were you going an up and a down, an up and a down? Because sometimes the good came first, and then there was a bad. Sometimes the bad came first, and then there was the good. And either way, the first always teaches us something to get through the second. The bad to help us get through to the first and get through the first, humbly. The good to help us get through the bad so we have the remembrance of what happened that was good so we can look forward to another good. There's always going to be one to help out the other. Some of those things that we go through are not easy. They're not comfortable. The reassurance of Adonai, as told in Jeremiah 29, should be our strength. 29:11 of Jeremiah says this, "For I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares Adonai, plans for shalom and not calamity, to give you a hope and a future. When you call on me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you." Jeremiah tells us that they are his plans. He's in control. You may not be comfortable with the thought of being out of control. That's the problem with a lot of people. They want control. Adonai is in control, regardless of whether you want it to be or not. We need to get comfortable knowing that he's in control. Regardless of what's going on, he's in control. When we're in a season that's uncomfortable, such as the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job or a car or something that was important to us or that we thought was important to us, and we've lost it, he's still in control. And when we release that need to be in control, that's when we can become more comfortable, even in the uncomfortable situations. Now, not being in control doesn't mean that we just stop trying. Doesn't mean that we just stop caring. Doesn't mean that we just stop praying. It just means we stop trying to do it in our own strength, in our own ways. It's accepting what's happening and looking to Adonai for what we should be doing in this season as we're going through it. While we wait for Adonai to do, we accept the season we're in. And you know, if we're waiting and we're asking questions of Adonai, which is not a bad thing, asking questions of Adonai, but sometimes with the wrong heart attitude, when we ask, are you sure? You know, it's okay to ask Adonai, are you sure? When you have that hard attitude that he's in control. But when you're trying to hold on to control and you ask, are you sure, to him? It's the same as saying, are you sure, Adonai? Are you sure you can do this, Adonai? Are you sure this is the right way to do it, Adonai? Are you sure I can do that, Adonai? And all of these questions really boil down to the same thing. Can I trust you, Adonai? That's what they're all asking the same question. Can I trust you, Adonai? Time waiting is not a waste. It's actually an investment that pays out in the growth of our faith. It's only when we invest our time by waiting, and by waiting in the correct way, not by asking the wrong questions, but by asking with the right heart attitude and the right questions, and then letting him have his way, that faith is paid out. Faith is developed and grown when humility and patience is paid out to us. And patience, humility will pay out as satisfaction in all our situations. Here's what Rav Shaul said in Philippians chapter 4. I am not saying this because I am in need. For whatever circumstances I am in, I have learned to be content. I know what it is to live with humble means, and I know what it is to live in prosperity. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of contentment, both to be filled and to go hungry, to have abundance and to suffer need. I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. In all circumstances, we can trust and be patient. And this is what brings contentment in all the situations that we find ourselves in. Regardless of what we're going through, if we trust in him, then we can just sit back content. It doesn't mean we like what we're going through, but it means we're content that he's in control and that we can wait it out. And I think Rav Shaul learned this by reading Job. Job 36, verse 10. And he opened their ears to instructions and commands that they turn from evil. If they obey and serve, they will end their days in prosperity and their years in happiness. I think Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, read that and knew that was the secret to contentment. Now the word used there for prosperity is tov. It's not prosperity as the world sees it, not in gold and not in silver. But the word is there for good things, good men, good women. As an adverb, it's used as beautiful, best, bountiful, cheerful, at ease. We can be at ease with the best when we trust in him. When we allow him to have his ways, that's when we can be at ease. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in Adonai with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trusting in him that he will make our path straight. Being patient and knowing that his ways and his timings are not just better than ours, they're the best. There is no better way. See, if I think that things are could be better, well, you know, I'm strong. Vince is stronger, but there's still someone stronger. So when I say Adonai is strong, I'm not talking about, you know, just a little bit stronger than I am. He is the strongest. We have to know, we have to remember that Adonai is trustworthy, not just based on something that will happen or has already happened. Instead, he's perfect in all things. And therefore, if and when becomes less important. Will it happen? When will it happen? Those aren't the important questions. Who's in charge? Who can I trust? Those are the important questions. And by knowing the answer is him, now we have contentment. Now we can get through things. So as you wait, be assured you are not missing out on anything, regardless of how long it takes. He's still Adonai. He'll be Adonai if it takes a week for something to happen. He'll be Adonai if it takes a year for something to happen. He'll be Adonai, the same Adonai, if it takes 5 years for it to happen. But what happens if I die within those 5 years? He's still Adonai. You're still going to be before him if you trust in him, if you accept the Messiah, Yeshua. He's the same regardless of time, place, realm. Hebrews 13:8, Yeshua the Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is who he is. The forever part is the important thing to remember, because when we want to trust in Adonai, we want to trust him for today and tomorrow, but it's hard to trust him for forever. But we need to trust him for forever. We need to rest assured that his plans will be complete regardless of how long it takes, whether we're on this side of eternity or the other side of eternity. So we ask Yeshua, Adonai, help us to be humble and to hand it all over to you. We know your promises are yes and amen, though we may not know your timing. And we know that we can trust in you. So even when we're going through things like Israel's bombings, we can trust that it'll be put to an end at the perfect time. It doesn't need to all consume us. And I pray it doesn't all consume even those in Israel, because I pray that they trust in Adonai, trust in Yeshua, the Ruach HaKodesh, who has control over all things. So Adonai, help us to be trusting in you. Help us to be faithful for you, in you. Help us to wait upon you in all things. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Even as we wait, as we go through the counting of the Omer, we wait patiently because he's in control. Even as we wait for the end of the bombings, we wait patiently because he's in control. Even as we wait, maybe in need, we wait patiently because he's in control and will meet every one of our needs at a perfect time. Hallelujah. Amen.